Our study today takes us to chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, and we welcome you to this Radio Bible Course study. This chapter concerns the seventh and last miracle in this Gospel prior to the crucifixion of Jesus. John gives us a lengthy story here, which culminates in the raising of a man who had been dead for 4 days. And now here's that story in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, a village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were but now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Thus he spoke, and then he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awake him out of sleep." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not here, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Many of you listeners are probably familiar with this story. This story has three major divisions. First of all, we have the report of Lazarus' illness in the first 16 verses. Then from 17 to 37, we have the arrival of Jesus on the scene at the tomb in Bethany. And then the miracle at the tomb, which is indeed a glorious miracle. Everyone who hears the name Lazarus knows about the dead man who, at the command of Jesus, came out of the tomb. It's an incredible story. And there is a reason, I think, for this miracle being at the position it is in this gospel. We'll discuss that shortly. Now, when did this event take place? We observed in chapter 10, verse 22, a mention of the Feast of Dedication, which occurred in December, near Christmas Day. And we do know that this is also the final year of the ministry of Jesus, so the time here is either in January or February, prior to the spring when Jesus was crucified. So we are really in the last months of Jesus' life on earth. That coming Passover in the spring, the Passover of the Jews, of course, is mentioned in verse 55 of this 11th chapter. So we see the time frame that we have, and also it comes up in the very next chapter in the opening verse. So we are sure about the timing of this event in the story of Lazarus. Now, exactly where was Jesus when the news came to him about Lazarus? You won't find it in the Bible. It doesn't say specifically, and I'm not sure that it matters. However, there is a reference to a place where Jesus was, and that's in chapter 10, verse 40. We saw that earlier. It says in verse 40, "He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he remained, and many people came to him." So this was a familiar place to people who knew about John the Baptist, and of course the Jews did. And that might have been the place where Jesus was when the news came to him about Lazarus, or at least he might have been near that location. Lazarus is the first person mentioned in this story. He is rather an obscure person. You won't find him mentioned other than in this chapter, and in the first verse of the next chapter. But he was a close friend of Jesus, that's quite evident. But we don't know anything about how old he was or what his occupation was. And because he is so obscure, and to keep the confusion down, John writes as a good reporter, and you see that all through the Gospel of John. He's specific here. He says, Lazarus of Bethany, instead of saying, Lazarus, the son of such and such. He says, the Lazarus of Bethany, to perhaps distinguish him from another Lazarus of whom Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 16 when he told the story about the rich man and Lazarus. That Lazarus was a beggar. John wants us to know that this is not the same Lazarus. To ensure further accuracy, because there was another Bethany, and that was east of the Jordan, this Bethany is further identified by John as the village of his sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, the Bethany of Mary and Martha is about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem. There is another Bethany, it's across the Jordan, some 22 miles southeast of Cana, south of the Sea of Galilee. Now, on our tours, we visit all these cities, and we also go to Cana and Nazareth, which is south of Cana. Well, John is quite specific about the location, and the sisters of Lazarus, by the way, are much better known than he was. They were hospitable women. We read of this in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Listen to it. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. It isn't often that anyone tells Jesus what to do, but she did. And the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha here had missed a great opportunity to be at the feet of Jesus. Mary did the better thing. Now that's the real lesson in that story. The point for us is that there ought to be a time that we give to Jesus Christ away from the necessary things of life. We all have them, our jobs, our children, our yards, our house. They need cleaning, the meals need to be cooked, and all those kinds of things. But there is still a time to be with Jesus. Well, John further identified Mary as the one who anointed Jesus in this text here. It was a place where Jesus often went. And what comfort and peace of mind it must have brought to him to have an inviting place where he could go. Now, it wasn't their house that meant something to him. And if you visit someone's home quite often because they are dear friends, you'll realize it's not because of the kind of a house they have, but because of the people that are there. It's the people and the attitude of hospitality, no condemnation, where you are treated as one of the family. They invite you to the table, they ask you to stay, and that's very comforting in this busy world. Everybody needs a place like that. And I thank God he has given me so many such people. They welcome me to their homes, they treat me like I belong there, and that's a very great comfort to me. That tells us what we ought to do with our homes. We ought to open them to people. We ought to keep in mind that everybody needs love, and many people are going through trials, or they just need a friend. And if we don't give time to people, we are not taking advantage of the opportunities. When someone comes, it may be that God sent them, because you can meet that need. And when they open the door and walk through it, use the opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. Give words of comfort and encouragement. Talk about the Word of God. Now notice the message sent to Jesus in verse 3. The message was factual and simple. Lord, he whom you love is ill. Notice, there is no request connected to it. Nothing like, please come, please hurry. You know, with dear friends, all you have to do is tell them the news. You don't have to make a request. They know what they need to do. Well, the sisters here sent the message. It was bad news about their brother being ill. But they had confidence that Jesus would do whatever needed to be done. And Jesus made an immediate response to those disciples who were with him. This illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. Do you see something there that I see? He equates the glory of God with the glory of Jesus Christ. Listen to it again. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. There really is no difference between God the Father and God the Son when it comes to glory. And when you are glorifying Jesus as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, you are also glorifying God the Father. You don't have to distinguish between the two persons of the Godhead here when you glorify God. We are not told to pray to Jesus. We are told to pray to the Father, but both get the glory. For we pray in the name of Jesus because the two, while they are separate, they are united. They are one in essence and one in spirit. Now he, of course, when he said, this illness is not unto death, did not mean that Lazarus would not die, even though it sounds that way on the surface. He meant that death would not be final. Yes, Lazarus would die, but that would not be the end of the matter. It would be only a temporary death so that God could be glorified. And I see in verse 4 that Jesus equates God's glory with what the Son is going to do when he gets to that tomb. It again implies equality and unity. Well, I want to close our program today with a question. How righteous must one be to get to heaven? Did you know that you'll never be more righteous in God's sight than you were the moment you believed in Christ? Our free grace booklet will help you to understand this. Write for a copy. Don't send money. It's free. Ask for the free grace booklet. It will teach you how to live in the freedom of grace. Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry supported by friends and listeners. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.